On a wall in Texas, there is a building. And in that building, there is a picture of a man. And the words underneath the picture say this: James Butler. There is no picture of him that exists. This picture is his nephew, James, who is dead, who greatly looked like his uncle. This picture is placed here by the family that people may know the look of the man who died for freedom. On that wall was a picture, and it wasn't the picture of the man that they were trying to remember. It was his nephew. And they couldn't put his picture there because there was no picture of him. So they put a picture of a relative that looked like him. In the same way, there is no picture of Jesus Christ that exists on earth today. But his look should be in every one of us. And when people see you, they should see Jesus in you. And so, we need to work on keeping our testimony strong, which is where we ended after the Sunday school. And on Sunday morning, your testimony is seen when you come to hear God's word. And when you come back on Sunday afternoon, and when you come back on Wednesday, Thursday evening, your testimony is seen and you keep your light shining before men. My messages today are very simple. I have 10 reasons why we should be faithful to church and not forsake the assembling. So take your Bible, go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. We will find our verse and then we will ask the Lord to bless as we continue on. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. As you're turning in Sunday school, point number one is we should be faithful to church because it is a command. It is a command. Number two, we should be faithful to church because it encourages your pastor. It is a great encouragement. This is my third time coming here, and every time your group gets a little larger and larger. I mean this service, this main service. And you know what that is? That is encouraging. And I know that that encourages your pastor. And then third, we should be faithful to church because it keeps our testimony strong. Other people are watching. We need to make sure that our light is shining. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25. Let's pray and then we'll look at the Bible. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. Lord, I pray that you would help me to preach. Father, I ask that you would fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. We are so glad that we can assemble today. And Lord, I ask that you would just give me wisdom and clarity of thought. And Father, I want to be a blessing to your church today. And Lord, I do pray that if there's someone in our midst that does not have salvation, they're not a part of the family of God yet. Oh Lord, would you convict that heart and show them how bad they need the Son of God as their Savior. So Lord, speak to our hearts. Encourage us. Convict us. Edify us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. With years comes a little wisdom. And the longer we live, hopefully the more wisdom we get. When I started to have children, I have three girls back in Chicago. And when we started to have children, I was dumb. Christmas would come, and I would say, I want to get the girls some nice toys that they can play with and enjoy. And I would go out and I would get these toys. And you know what I would spend all day Christmas morning doing after they opened them up? Putting them together.
Yeah.
And after about 3 years, I said, what am I doing? I've got to start getting these girls something that's already put together. Here I am with the screwdriver. Everybody else is having a good time. They're eating food. They're talking. They're laughing. And here am I putting this thing together. So I started to check the boxes when I would buy something, and it would say some assembly required. And whenever I saw that, no, put that away. Assembly required. I put that away. And a lot of people, when they come to God's church and they open the Bible and they see that it says assembly required, we'll say, oh, no. God here says assembly required.
Amen.
And it's good. The testimonies, I enjoyed the testimonies. The singing, glorious singing. You have good voices. And it's a small room and I have a big mouth. And I have to come down because if not, I have a big mouth. But you're singing. It's glorious. You know what that is? That's the assembly coming together. And I want to continue on with point number four. Faithful church attendance keeps you in the special presence of the Lord. Faithful church attendance keeps you in the special presence of the Lord. Please turn in your Bible to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. I love to hear the pages turning. Some of you received new Bibles today. How many of you got a new Bible today? Raise your hand. You got a new Bible. Hey, let's use them. Let's use them. Matthew chapter 18. And take good care of your Bible too. Take good care of your Bible. That's important. Matthew 18. Now please look at the Bible with me. Verse number 20. Jesus said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them.
Amen.
Two or three gathered in the name of Jesus. Now look around. Do we have at least two or three?
Amen.
We have that many just in this row. Two or three. Jesus said, if two or three will come together in my name, I will be there.
Amen.
In the midst. That is a precious promise.
Yes, sir.
Precious promise. Now, we know from the Bible that God is omnipresent. Omnipresent. What that means is God is everywhere present. Everywhere present. He is everywhere at the same time. I like Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 24. It says, "Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, saith the Lord?" God says, "I'm everywhere." He is the only one that can say 100% of the time to us, "You can run, but you cannot hide. You can run, but you cannot hide." He's everywhere. But at the same time, when a group of people are gathered together in Christ's name, they have a special promise of his presence. Of Christ in their midst. What a wonderful delight. As we were singing, as the prayer was offered, the fellowship in his name, to hear his word, like you're listening. You listen very well to the word. His presence is real and special. But listen, if you stay home when there is a church meeting, if you are away, you are not where Christ's special presence is. There was a man in the Bible who missed church on a Sunday. I want you to see this. Go with me to John chapter 20. This is after the crucifixion of Jesus. This is after the resurrection of Jesus. The disciples are going to see him alive. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. What day of the week did Jesus arise from the dead? What day of the week? Sunday, the first day of the week. That's why we're meeting today. That's why we're meeting on Sunday. Really, every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday. Because we meet on Sunday because Christ arose from the dead on the first day of the week. But on this Resurrection Sunday, somebody was not at church. Look at John chapter 20, verse number 19. John 20, 19. The Bible says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week." Okay, what is the first day of the week?
Sunday.
Sunday. "When the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you." So this is after the resurrection. The body of Christ was different. He could come into the room without going through the door. He had a resurrection body that could vanish and appear at his will. And so, he came on the first day of the week, and they were assembled together. It was a Sunday. Look at verse number 20. "And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Now look at verse 21. Two things he gave them. Peace and direction. Peace and direction. Now look up this way. You know what people in this world are looking for in all of the wrong places? Peace and direction. People will kill themselves because they have no peace, no direction. Jesus said, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. I want to send you out. Direction. Peace and direction. Look at verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Now look at verse 24. Don't miss it. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Uh-oh. Thomas was not faithful to assemble together when the disciples assembled together. In other words, watch me now, he missed church. And because he missed church, he missed those two things, peace and direction. When you miss church, you miss peace and direction. Now, I believe this is the right time to say this because I believe the Holy Spirit is leading me to say it. You can forsake the assembling even if you're here presently in your body. If you are not listening, if your mind is on lunch, if your mind is on other things, you can be here in your body. If you're... I had a teacher in college that fell asleep while he was teaching us. He was up there teaching. That's bad. But you can be here in your body and not be here in your heart and forsake the assembly that way. Thomas wasn't there. He was missing. Where was Thomas? I don't know. What was he doing? I don't know. But whatever he was doing, it was not more important than being where Jesus was.
Right.
When there's a church meeting going on, I don't care what you're doing. It's not more important than what's going on here. And when you're not there, like Thomas, you miss peace and direction. Direction. Thomas had no peace until he got back to church. When did he get back to church? The next week. Look at verse 26. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Now he's there. So what does he get? Peace. Peace. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. He got peace and direction because he got back to church. Here's the point. You ought to want to be where Jesus is. Yeah, I like that. His presence. Number five, faithful attendance is important because Jesus is coming again. It is important because Jesus is coming again. The Bible says that our Lord will return for his church. He is coming again. I believe that. The Bible says that that day is approaching. And we should be faithful because he's coming again. Go back to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Hebrews 10, 25. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Now what does that mean? As the manner of some is. What that means is there were people, evil and even in Bible days, when the church was young that stayed home. And so the Bible's saying here, don't miss church like some people do.
Yeah.
You know some people like that? Don't miss church like some people do. Don't be like them, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, what day approaching is that talking about? The day approaching. Jesus returned. The day approaching. And so we're to assemble so much the more. Here's the point. We don't need less church. We need more church. As that day is approaching, Jesus is going to come again. That is one of the great declarations in the Bible. As you see the day approaching, I don't want to be ashamed when he returns. Nobody in this room is perfect. Pastor prayed that we would have forgiveness of our sins, and I hope you prayed along with him. Nobody in this room can walk on water. But we should strive to please him in everything we do, so that when he comes, we're not ashamed. Go with me to 1 John, towards the book of Revelation. 1 John. First John chapter 2. First John chapter 2. We should be faithful to church so that we're not ashamed when he comes. First John chapter 2, verse number 28. First John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. What if Jesus returned at church meeting time and you were not at church? Woo! What would you feel like at the judgment seat of Christ? What would you feel like if he came back on a Sunday or a Thursday night or a Sunday afternoon and you were not there? What will you say to him? What are you going to say? Oh, I was a lover of Saint Mattress. My mattress. Saint Mattress. No. What are you going to say? Imagine trying to explain to Jesus Christ that Sunday is your only day off or your only day of rest. Do they have movie theaters in the Philippines? Can you imagine being in a movie theater with a bucket of popcorn and Jesus Christ returned? Think of the disgrace that would come if you missed church to be somewhere else and the Lord return. No. Live every day of your life as if in the next instant you'll hear the shout and the trumpet sound. Number 6. We should not forsake the assembling, because when we assemble, it reminds us of the command to tithe. It reminds us of the command to give one-tenth of whatever we earn back into the Lord's work. And coming on Sunday reminds us of that. If a Christian does not tithe, they are in complete disobedience to God's word. As a Christian, there was a time when I did not tithe. When I got to Bible college, I did not have much money. And I knew I should tithe. I knew I should bring my tenth on the Lord's day. But I used excuses and I did this and that. I convinced myself. It's very bad when you self-deceive. When you deceive yourself, that's bad. Hey, I was deceiving myself. I don't have to tithe. And you know what? Nothing was going right. was a disaster. Everything became a fire, and I'm trying to put it out. I put it out, and then another fire. You know, just in my life, nothing was right until I obeyed the command. And so God tells us to tithe. You say, what happens to my money when I put it in the basket? Well, who got a new Bible today? Can I see your Bible? When I put my money in the basket, what happens? Things like this can be purchased. And we can put a copy of God's Word in someone's hand. And all of those booklets back there, the tracts. And this place can be rented. And then the place next door can be rented. This ministry won't go forward by your good looks. This ministry goes forward when God's people give.
Amen.
God's people give. Go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. We need to tithe, and we're reminded to do that on the Lord's Day. The Lord's Day. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. I want you to see this. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 8. Malachi 3, 8. Will a man rob God? Now try to think about that in your mind right now. Try to picture that. Will a man rob God? Give me your money. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You rob him when you don't bring the tithe. Now I preach the Bible because I believe the Bible. And I believe that when you tithe, it's not so much for God as it is for you. Because you're able to prove him by giving. And you give and God blesses you. And you give and God meets the need. You give and God takes good care of you. And he takes better care of you with the 90% than you can take care of yourself with the 100%. I believe in tithing. And when I see people that don't tithe, I feel sorry for them because they're not going to see those blessings.
Right.
A few years back, we had a family in our church. They came to church and they wanted to look good. They both worked jobs. In fact, they both worked two jobs, four jobs between husband and wife. And they spent money on this and spent money on that and spent money on that. And they were tithing at one time, but because of all the bills, they stopped tithing. Well, I just get up and preach the Bible. And I preach strong. I preach a lot stronger in Chicago than I do in the Philippines. Let me tell you. And on Wednesday night, I had a scream come down. Before I preached, the scream came down, and I showed a video. And the video was a video of these robbers. They had the camera. They had the camera, and the robbers, they got out of the truck, and they didn't know the security camera was there, and they had this big thing, and they were beating the door of a warehouse. Boom! 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 Until the door broke open, and they went in there, and they're carrying out boxes, they're loading it up on the truck, they're stealing, and they're loading it up, and they get a bunch of boxes, and they get in the truck, all of them get in the truck, and that was my introduction. Will a man rob God? The only way to be obedient is to be faithful to bring your tithe. And here's the point that I want to leave with you on this point. God tells us in his word when to bring the tithe. He doesn't say bring it on Monday. There are some people at our church in Chicago, they will miss church and put their tithe in the mail. And so their tithe will arrive on Monday. Tuesday. When? No, go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. The Bible tells us what day of the week to bring our tithe. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 1. Don't miss this. 1 Corinthians 16, 1. It says, now concerning the collection for the saints. The collection. Now this is an offering. I understand that. But it's a collection. You know what the collection is? Okay, Joe, did you take the collection up today? Did you have the basket, the offering basket? Okay, he took up the collection. Okay, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Look at verse 2. Upon the what? First day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. The Apostle Paul said, this is the way it's supposed to be for the churches. On the first day of the week, let the collection be taken up. Let the offering be gathered up. On the first day of the week, not on Monday. How can you tithe according to God's word if you are not here on Sunday? First day of the week. Every Sunday. Now, I want to stress that Sunday, because it represents the gospel. It represents a Savior who arose from the dead on a Sunday. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He is God. Very God, God's Son, 100% God, who became 100% man and God at the same time, who lived on this earth sinless, and he came here for one purpose. You say, to feed the hungry? No. To heal the sick? No. He did those things, but he came here for one purpose, to seek and to save that which was lost. And the only way they could be saved is by him dying for our sins. We are all filthy sinners. All of us are. All we like sheep have gone astray. Don't tell yourself, I'm a good person. The Bible says there is none that doeth good. Don't say, I'll be good and I'll go to heaven. The Bible says it's not by our works. But Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And if he had stayed dead, none of us could be saved. No. He had to arise from the dead by his own power and prove that he was who he said he was. And he did that. And when he arose from the dead, it was on a Sunday. Have you accepted the Lord as your Savior? Have you made him your Lord? Have you received him? But as many, the Bible says, as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. This way, not young man, sir, young man, not talking when I'm preaching. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If there's one person here that has not yet received him, you can do that today. You can receive him today. You can take him as your own. I was 13 when I received him. Best decision I ever made. I hope you'll receive him if you haven't. Christian? By the time we're done this afternoon, you're going to have 10 reasons from the Bible why you should be here for Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, and Thursday evening. What are you going to do with them? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. I preached a message mainly to Christians, I know. But that word, Sunday, that first day of the week, it has so much in it because it speaks of Christ. We meet on the first day of the week because he arose from the dead on the first day of the week. He arose from the dead because he was dead. He died for you. Have you received him? Have you become his son or his daughter? Are you a part of the family of God? The Bible says that if you don't receive him, if you refuse him, there's no more sacrifice for your sins. The Bible teaches about an awful place called hell. A place prepared for the devil and his angels. But also for those who refuse to receive Christ. You have a soul. One day that soul is going to leave this earth and spend forever somewhere. We want that to be heaven. We don't want that to be hell for you. The Bible says that hell is a place of fire, torment, smoke. The worst thing about it is that it is eternal separation from God. We don't want that for anyone here today. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would there be someone here today that would say, Pastor Lewis, I need to receive him. I have not yet received him, but the Lord spoke to my heart. I need to receive him. Pray for me that I would receive him. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up and put it down? Pray for me that I'll receive him. If you're here, you know the Lord as your Savior. You know the Lord. That's exciting if you know the Lord. That's what it's all about. If you know the Lord, he wants you to take his command of not forsaking the assembly. He wants us to be together. Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, Thursday night. It's a command. His presence is where two or three are gathered together. It encourages your preacher. Reminds us of the command to be faithful with our money for God's work. Christian, God wants you to be faithful to church. Would there be a Christian here that would say, Pastor Lewis, when you pray in just a moment, pray for me that I'll not forsake the assembly, that I will be faithful to church. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? I see those hands. Praise the Lord. You can put them down. Heavenly Father, thank you for your people. God, I pray that you would put within their hearts burning desire to make your church real big in their lives and to obey the command of not forsaking your assembling together. Oh God, I pray that we would not be like Thomas, a man who stayed home from church. A man who missed peace and direction because he thought he had something better to do. Lord, make us faithful. For Jesus' sake and in his name, amen. Pastor.